The series last week for Christmas, and it's the heart of Christmas. And today we're going to talk about the heart of Christmas is hope. We need hope today, don't we? I talk to hundreds of people throughout the week as they do their jobs, and without a doubt, there's one common need for all. And with that, there's one mutual certitude that those who do have this do better than anybody else, and that is hope. Hope. People with hope do better. They'll begin telling you a difficult situation in their life, and suddenly they'll stop themselves and start talking about why they have hope. You've heard people do that, haven't you? They're the people that want to see that God is involved. And here's the question for us today. Is there hope? It's one of the most fundamental questions of life. Is life worth living? What is that question? That question is there hope? Can I count on anything in life? It's a question of hope. It's asked every day by thousands, millions, billions. We're asking in a billion different ways. Is there hope? Is there hope for more sales? How many of you need more sales? Is there hope for life to be normal again? How many of us need that? We all want life to be normal again. Is there hope for our political leaders? God help us. Is there hope? Is there hope for our children's future? Is there hope for success? When you're sitting in the doctor's office and you look around and you see other people, what's on their hearts? What's on their mind? They're asking the question, is there hope? If you end up in the ER for something, you look around and see all the situations, and maybe it's even your own situation. You're asking the question, is there hope? I think of the couple that's been putting months and months into marriage counseling, and you look into their eyes and they're wondering the whole time they're dealing with this situation in their marriage, and that's the question that they're asking is there hope for us? You can go 40 days without food. You can go 3 days without water. And you can go 8 minutes without air. But you can't go a single second without hope. Hope is one of the essentials for life. And when hope is gone, life is over. They're a walking shell when there's no hope. Dr. Harold Wolff, who was a professor at Cornell University in the medical school, he did a study of the effects of hope on the human body. It's pretty interesting. He studied 25,000 prisoners of war over an extended period of time. And what he found is what hope did for these guys and the difference that it made. He discovered that of the 25,000 POWs, there was one group of men of whom experienced through their situation in the POW camp, they had that no matter what they experienced, it had no effect at all long-term on them. In spite of the brutality, in spite of the cruelty, in spite of their torture, solitary confinement, in spite of all the inhumane abuse, there was one group that it did not faze. And there was, when they got out, they came home, and there was no post-traumatic stress disorder or anything like that. They didn't get ill. They didn't have flashbacks. They came home. They got jobs, and they got families, and they moved on with their lives. And when the study was finished, he said there was one common denominator with all of these men that succeeded and did so great after being POWs, and it was this. They had an extraordinary high level of hope. You see, hope makes all the difference in the world when you've gone through difficult situations in your life. It's essential for handling the crises in life. And in his study, he concluded with this, and I'm going to quote him. He said, when a man has hope, he's capable of bearing incredible burdens and cruel punishment. But when hope is gone, people fall apart emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So as we move into Christmas week, we're talking about the heart of Christmas. And I'm telling you, at the heart of Christmas, there's hope. It's hope. God gave, God saved, so we could have eternal life. That's what we started with last week. Boy, that gives us hope, doesn't it?
Amen.
So today we're going to talk about how we get hope through who He is. Where do you go to find the hope that you need in life? You need hope. Where do you go to find it? You have to hope in order to believe that God will work in your life. You have to hope to believe that God can change your situation in life. You have to hope before you can even begin to believe that God can heal you and do something and restore a relationship. What does Scripture say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 at the very end of the chapter? These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is
love.
Faith needs hope. Hope needs faith for the purpose of love. Here's the problem, though. Because we know we need hope, we fall for false hope. You know someone that's addicted to gambling? What is that? It's false hope. They're addicted to hope. People watch fake TV preachers. Anybody watch fake TV preachers here? Chuck? Put your hand on the screen. What are they selling? False hope. We open fortune cookies for fun. But really, down deep inside, we hope what it says is going to come true. Am I alone? People call psychic hotlines and visit palm readers and astrologers. Don't raise your hands. I don't want to know it. Fake healers, quacks, all kinds of crazy crystals that we use to try to find the future, putting our hope in rocks. And of course, inevitably, these things disappoint. They disappoint. Gambling disappoints eventually, right? False hope. And honestly, there's nothing worse than being disappointed by false hope. Nothing more useless than false hope. Is there any place that I can go that I can depend on? Is there somebody that I can actually really count on in life when there's a crisis? Where do I find that kind of hope? The answer is Christmas. Christ. And what it represents. The Bible tells us that if you find it in God, that is your source of hope. He is your source of hope. Romans chapter 15, 13 says, "May God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him." He is the source of hope. And without Him, you don't have hope. You're going to try all of these other things. We're going to find the counterfeit hopes in life. But nothing is going to satisfy, and everything is actually going to dissatisfy you. It's not going to work for you. But when you find Christ, when you let Him come in and let Him be your hope in life, there are a lot of things in life that I can't count on, a lot of things that are uncertain. These are the anchors of our soul is what we're going to talk about right now. There are three things that are sources of hope that God gives us. First is God's presence. God's presence. The story of Jesus being born isn't just about Jesus. The story of Jesus being born was also about Mary and Joseph and all the wise men and everything that comes into that story. It's about the people that Jesus affected, the people that were involved. And the reality is these people were real people. They needed real money. They needed real air and oxygen in their lives. They needed a place to live. They needed a place for help. They needed health in their lives. They needed good reputations. They need everything that planet Earth could provide for them. They had real needs. These were real people. And Joseph, with all of these real needs, he found out that Mary was pregnant. Now think about that. He was so excited to get married to this beautiful young lady. But all of his hopes were suddenly dashed. They were shattered. You can imagine where his imagination went. Who is she with? What did she do this for? I thought she loved me. What's wrong with her? Why would she do this? And you can just imagine how crushed he was, feeling hopeless. She's the love of my life. I could see us growing old together. The pain of that moment was so real. And we know that he really loved her because of the way he responded. Look at what it says he did. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He was going to make sure that he kept her reputation intact somehow as best as he could. He was just going to take care of things behind the scene. That's love, isn't it? Well, listen, these people weren't Jerry Springer kind of people. Joseph was not interested in getting on TV. He wasn't posting on Facebook, "Hey, my girl done me wrong. Here's a picture of her. She's pregnant. Look, and everybody feel bad for me because look what she did. I was going to marry her." And he didn't do that. That's not the kind of guy he was. He was going to divorce her quietly. And he sat down and he was thinking about it. He was thinking about it. We know it because that's what the scripture says. He thought it through, how to lovingly let her go. He heard her story. She pled her case. She said, "Hey, God did this. I need you to trust me. I need you to believe. God did this. Please don't leave me alone. God gave me this baby." And everyone in the world would have thought he was crazy for marrying her. So he was going to divorce her. But after he had considered this, look what scripture says. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord, understand, divorce, and if you were engaged, you had to divorce, all right? That was part of the legal way that they did things back then. So they weren't actually married yet, but they were getting married, and they were engaged to be married. So, but after he considered divorce, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. So immediately he went and married her. Isn't that awesome? The angel said to him to call him Jesus, which means what? It means God saves. Now, that name is about what Jesus did. Jesus saved us. And it says that he would be called Emmanuel, not named Emmanuel, but called Emmanuel. So Emmanuel is his position or his title. So in the same way, like I am Pastor John, my real name is John. My title is pastor, but my name is John. So his title is God with us, is what Emmanuel means. Isn't that awesome? That's who he is. That's what he does. God with us is the hope we have. Christmas is all about hope. God with us. God came to be with us. God came to be a part of planet Earth with us and to understand what life is like. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Don't worry because I am with you," says God. "Don't be afraid because I am your God. I will make you strong and I will help you. I will support you." That's God's promise to us. Amen. I remember throughout my life so many times when I was afraid, but I had my dad right there with me. And some of you can remember those moments in your life when you were afraid, maybe as a child, and your father or your mother was right there with you, and you knew that it was going to be okay. Why? Because they were there with you. And later on, talking to my dad about some of those situations, I found out that he was afraid, just as afraid as I was. But guess what? God is never afraid to. He's never afraid. He's always able to be with you, and he knows exactly how to get you through any given situation at any given time. Amen. Our God is with us. The good news is, regardless of what happens, you and I don't have to go through life alone. Amen. You're not alone. You're not. Our God is with us. He's with us. Listen, this is one of those certainties of life. Can't count on anything else. But this is one of those certainties in life that you can count on. Amen. God is with you. And when I hold on to that certainty, I have hope. When you hold on to that, there's hope. There are a lot of uncertainties in life. One of the sad uncertainties is that people will leave you. People, friends, family, they might get ill. They might be there in a shell, but they're not themselves anymore because they've grown old and lost their minds. They might get mad and run away from you, or they might move away, or they may even pass away. That's people. But God is a certainty. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Man, there's hope in that. There's hope in that. Certainty of life is God will never leave you. And that helps us to have hope. Because honestly, the fear of being abandoned is one of the greatest fears in our lives. This is the feeling that I'm going to be abandoned, that someone's going to leave me, I'm going to be deserted, I'm going to be forsaken, I'm going to be left alone, or I've got to deal with life, or something bad is going to happen, and I'm not going to have anybody to help me out. That's a real fear that we have in life. But I promise you this, God's word says He will never leave you, He will never forsake you, He will always be with you, He will always take care of you. And when you don't feel Him, guess what? He's closer than you've ever had Him before, probably. That's who God is. He's a very humble and unassuming person. That's His character. When you feel like He's farthest away, God's character is that that means He's probably closer than you've ever had Him. He's a humble God that doesn't come bursting into the scene saying, I'm here to save the day. That's not who He is. He's humble, unassuming. And if you ever feel like He's not there, look closer. Listen a little more. Because He's probably closer than He's ever been.
Amen.
That's truth. God will never leave you. Never. As a pastor, I've stood at a lot of gravesides with people. And after that funeral, so many times you hear the words, how can I go on? How am I going to make it? What do I do now? I've heard an older lady say, I don't even know how to pump gas. He always took care of me. I don't even know how to pay the bills. He always took care of me. Or to hear Him say, man, she's always been there. I don't even know how to cook. What am I going to do? God will be with you. If you get deserted, God will be with you. It's His promise. He won't leave you alone. Not only is He with us, but the Bible says He watches over us. Not just watches over us, but watches over us. Pays attention to us. It's It's one thing for your parents to be in the room as a, when you're a kid and you're sick and they're watching TV and you're sick and you feel like you're going to die and they're watching TV and you feel like you're going to die and they're watching TV and you feel like you're going to die. You understand what I'm saying? It's one thing for your parents to be in the room watching TV, but it's another thing for them to be watching over you and caring for you and checking on you, checking your temperature, making sure you're okay, making sure all is well. And that's God. God doesn't just, he doesn't just hang out on planet Earth. He watches over us. He pays attention to us. He knows everything about us. He knows all of our body situation. He knows all of our financial situation. He knows everything about us. He pays attention to us. Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will guide you. I will guide you along the best pathways for your life. I will advise you and I will watch over you. That's God's promise to us. Not only will he be with us, but he's willing to show us the way. That's great hope. The writer of the book of Lamentations was feeling hopeless. Most scholars say that it was probably Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, that wrote the book of Lamentations. We're not for sure, but listen to the switch that happens in the middle of this. Chapter 3, he's very down. I mean, he is upset with life. Bad things have happened. He says, so I say, my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. He's in a bad way, isn't he? But then it's like something switches. A switch is flipped. He realizes that he has power to change his thinking here. And he says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. He says, this, what I'm about to tell you, I decide to think about. I call it to mind. I change my thinking in relate terms. I reroute my thinking, and I remember something that is so important, and this is where I find hope. Instead of waiting for someone else to come and give it to him, he says, I find it when I change my thinking. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not dead yet. We're not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I wait for him. I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. What is he saying? God is good to those who put their hope in him. But it takes a choice, and that's the choice that he made. Another version put it this way, and you've probably heard it this way more often. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Many of us look back on our lives, and we've made so many mistakes. We've messed up so much, and we think, man, okay, there's no way that my life is ever going to really matter. It's never going to move past this, never going to move past that bad decision that I made. But look at what it says. His mercy is new every morning. You know what today is? It's a new day. There's hope. There's hope. God gives you a fresh start every morning. Secondly, real quickly, God's purpose. God's purpose is a source of hope Christmas brings. Joseph could trust his life to God's purpose. Let that sink in. Joseph could trust his life to God's purpose. God's purpose was bigger than him. God's purpose was bigger than his reputation. His purpose was bigger than all of his needs, all of his desires, his goals in life, his feelings. Everything that he wanted in life was suddenly switched over to God's purpose in his life. He was willing to raise a child that he had to believe came from God. Marry a woman that he believed was touched by God. Instead of just going with his flesh and saying, man, this is not right. This is not, Everything in my body tells me that this is what happened. She slept with somebody, and that's why she's pregnant. He went against all of that and went with God and said, God, your purpose for my life. And he walked with and raised Jesus. It's awesome. You know, the most difficult kind of questions in life are, why is this happening to me? Anybody ever ask that question? Why is this happening to me? Yep. When the problem is there, maybe it's a freak accident. Something just doesn't make sense. You don't have any rhyme or reason for it. You know, it makes sense when you can make sense of it. But man, they were so young. Why did that happen to them? Oh, they were so healthy. Why did he die of a heart attack? What? He was so healthy. He was always running. Well, that's why. No. Now, on the other hand, when you see purpose behind something, it gives enormous hope. When you can see the purpose of something, there's power to endure it because you see that purpose. And God says, I am working in your life for my purpose. And we can all look at how there are so many good things that have come from this pandemic. There are situations that we would not have had. There are opportunities that we would not have had. There are life changes that we would not have had it not been for this pandemic. There are people that you would not know. There are so many good things that have happened because of this. Here's a great verse for you to memorize. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So let's talk about that for just a few minutes. Notice first what it does say. Doesn't say. It doesn't say that all things work out the way I want them to. Can we all agree on that? God doesn't work out all things the way I want him to work them out. But it says this, we know, listen to the resolution there. We know, it doesn't say we wish, doesn't say we imagine, doesn't say we desire. It says we know that God causes all things to work together for good. We know. In other words, there's certainty. You understand what I'm talking about today? I'm talking about how can you be a person of hope with certainty is how. When God says, this is who I am, this is what I do, there is certainty there, but you have to know it. You have to believe it. Hope is not the same as optimism. Hope is certainty that no matter what happens, the ultimate one is in control and he's going to turn it for my good. Amen. We know what? We know that God causes. There's a grand master designer of the universe, and there's a plan that he has action towards his story, history, his story. He's taking action to make that come to pass. There's a master designer. And listen, we make mistakes for sure, but God takes those mistakes and somehow in his master plan, he works it all in and makes sense of it and turns it for good. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. What does that include? Does it include illness? You think? Absolutely. Does it include unemployment? Yeah. Does it include divorce? Does it include miscarriage? What about bankruptcy? Oh no, we judge that one. What about failure? What about freak accidents? Does God turn that for good? What about our stupid decisions? Everything. Everything can fit into God's plan. Everything. Now notice it doesn't say that all things are good. And it does not say that God causes all things. God does not cause rape. God does not cause war. God does not cause famine or poverty. God does not cause leukemia and cancer. He doesn't. Humans cause those things. But it does say that God causes all things to work together for good. All the bad. Anybody here ever done anything wrong? We're all sinners. Yeah. And God can take all of that and He can make something good of it. In fact, that's one of the certainties of life, if you'll trust Him with it. Third thing, real quickly, is God's place. His presence, His purpose, and His place. These are the certainties of life that He's given us. Notice what Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, Father, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." Would Jesus have said that if it were not true? I talk to Christians all the time that are still trying to figure out if heaven is real. Would Jesus have said this if it were not true? He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Jesus says that heaven is a place, not a state of mind. It's not nirvana. It's not where you're just going to be floating around in the clouds somewhere. It is heaven, a place, a place. What is heaven really like? Most of what it's like is that we know of is what it's not like. The scripture talks about there being no pain, no shame, no heartache, no abuse. Scripture says He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. No more problems. No more bills. I thought I'd get a few amens for that one. No rent. No house payments. Bible says He will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that has gone for a few days. It's not what it says, is it? Forever. If you're feeling hopeless this morning, you've forgotten that in this life, you should view this life in light of eternity. You've forgotten. Heaven is a place, and it's where you get to go. Yes, this life is important. According to Scripture, it's important. But we have to view it in light of that. Otherwise, we lose hope. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 46, "Listen, I've upheld you since you were conceived, and I've taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you, and I will take care of you. I will carry you and save you. Can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me or like me. Man. So as we go into Christmas this week, you should be the most hope-filled people in the world. And if you do get to spend it with family, let them see the hope-filled person that you are. That God has done something in your life. And you don't have to worry about your finances. What does worrying fix anyway? Jesus said you can't even add an inch to your life by worrying. What makes you think that worrying is going to get you a bunch of money? Trust Him. Trust Him. Be hope-filled. But it begins right here. Would you bow your heads? Some of you needed to hear today that God's presence is with you. Begin now. Just thank Him. God, thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you that you've promised you would never leave me, you'd never forsake me, you'd always be there. You are. You are my God. Thank you for your presence. Maybe you're here today and you needed to hear that God's purpose is on you. No matter where you've been, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what you've done that's wrong or what someone else did to you, God wants to take all of that and turn it into His purpose. Trust Him with it. Trust Him with it. Maybe today is the day that you say, God, I give you the pain that that caused me. I give it to you. I thank you for healing. Let your purpose fill my life. You know, God's place is prepared for you. Maybe you needed to hear that today. No more fear of death. No more. God's place is prepared for you. Father, today we thank you for your love for us. Fill us with your presence, O God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your purpose in our lives. And thank you, God, that you promised us heaven. And today we ask you for peace in our hearts. Show us your will and your way for the rest of our lives. I give you my heart and I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, Merry Christmas. God loves you. He cares about you. He knows who you are. He wants to celebrate it with us. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I could just hang out here all day, but I know you guys want to go to lunch. So...